Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It's always wonderful to be here on a Wednesday night, and of course it's different when Shirley's not here, because there's no piano music, and that feels a little strange, but we're going to sing anyway and worship the Lord for a while, and after that we're going to get started in the Word. But before we do anything, I'm going to pray tonight. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening, seeking thy guidance, thy direction, asking that thy will would be done. We ask that thy presence would be here upon us. Though we may be few in number here tonight, we know that thou hast promised, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst be here today. Let thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us as we worship thee to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess we'll sing some choruses for a little while. And I think what we'll do is just start with number 13 in the chorus book. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we need him to make us what we ought to be, to have his way with us, to change us, to perfect us, and keep perfecting us until that great and wonderful day when we see Him for ourselves face to face. I'm so looking forward to that. But why don't we go to number 47 in the chorus book and sing, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. And I believe He will make us what we ought to be if we just wait upon the Lord. If we wait upon the Lord, He will give us the strength we need. So why don't we sing number 48, They That Wait Upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Praise the Lord. And I am so thankful for all He's done for us, for all He's given us. And you know, when we wait upon Him, He gives us that strength we need. And what I'm thankful for more than anything tonight is His salvation, for the fact that He ever even thought of us. And I'm so thankful for all His blessings that He's given us. Why don't we go to number 62 and sing, Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord, that You ever thought of me. Thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord, that You ever thought of me. Well, many are the blessings that You give unto me, blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I want to thank You for Your love to me. Thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord, Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Well, many are the blessings that you give unto me, blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I want to thank you for your love to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you ever thought of me. Well, many are the blessings that you give unto me, blessings overflowing like a mighty sea. Lord, I want to thank you for your love to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord, and he has done so much for us. Praise the Lord. Well, it's not only important to thank him for what he's done for us, but it's also important that we never forget what he's done for us. So why don't we sing number 66, Jesus, I'll Never Forget. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. And Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. And Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. And Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's so important that we never forget. Well, we serve a wonderful God. And, you know, there's nothing too hard for him. If we're just willing to believe, and we all must believe. In fact, why don't we go to number 70 and sing, If You Believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go ahead and turn to the next page and sing number 77, In the Name of Jesus, because we do have the victory through the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. We know there's no other name as mighty as the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I think maybe we'll just sing one more chorus yet before we get started in the Word tonight. Number 94, wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is so good to praise and worship the Lord, and you can do that anywhere, wherever you might be. It's never a bad time to worship the Lord, never a bad time to praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to get started in the Word now. And of course, that's a wonderful thing to do. I'm going to call the message tonight simply, it's a short title, Our Rock. Our Rock. Who is our rock? Who must we firmly be established upon? Well, as we go through the course of this study here tonight, we are going to see that the rock upon whom we must build our life is the Lord Jesus, our God. We must build our life upon Him. He is the foundation of our life. He is the stability in our life, and we must build our lives upon Him. Now, we're going to be starting tonight in Psalm 78, but before I read even one verse, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here tonight. We thank Thee for Thy guidance, Thy direction, and we ask, O God, that Thou hast guide us and direct us here tonight. We ask, O God, that Thy word would have free course. We ask for Thy inspiration and for the gift of Thy understanding, for we know that without Thee we are incapable of understanding Thy word. But we thank Thee for all that Thou hast shown us, and we ask, O God, that Thou hast continue to show us new and mighty things in Thy word. We ask, O God, that Thy presence would be here, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon us as we study Thy word. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I mentioned, we're going to be starting in Psalm 78. And this is a rather lengthy psalm. But that's all right, because I think we'll actually get through it fairly quickly. But it's a very, very powerful psalm. It's 72 verses, and there's an important lesson that we can learn from this psalm. Going through it, the psalmist, he's basically giving us a history lesson on the children of Israel. He's telling us about some of the things that they went through, how God's mighty hand was upon them, and how He brought them through so much. But he also tells us that despite the fact that God brought them through so many things, so many hardships, worked so many mighty, wonderful miracles, they continually backslid. They kept going. It was a vicious cycle with them. They would serve the Lord, and then they'd fall into mischief, and God would judge them in some way, and then they would repent and seek the Lord again, and God would forgive them. Because we do serve a merciful and forgiving God. But then they would go back to their old ways. They'd look around at what the other nations around were doing, and they would want to participate. They'd get into all kinds of trouble. And we're going to see that as we study this psalm. You know, people sometimes these days, they say, well, you know, if God would just speak to us directly out of heaven, people, they would obey Him. They would hear Him. But you know what? You can read in the scriptures where He's done that, and people still rebelled against Him. In fact, the children of Israel, they had a big advantage over many people, especially over the other nations at that time. They had a direct connection to God. His hand was directly upon them. He spoke to them directly. He did signs, wonders, miracles for them. And they still couldn't stay out of trouble. And that just goes to show the human tendencies, and it goes to show just how much we need Jesus. He must be our rock, the foundation of our very lives. Psalm 78, verse 1 tells us, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." So in other words, he's telling them right off the bat that some of the things I'm going to tell you right now aren't the most pleasant. Dark sayings of old. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done." And yes, we're going to read about those wonderful works as well. And when we read about the wonderful works of God, that should inspire us to praise Him, to worship Him, to give Him our hearts. For He truly is a mighty, wonder-working God, a merciful God. Verse 5, "For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, So yes, that was something they were told to do, the fathers of the children, to pass down that law that God had given them to their children so that they too could be obedient. But we're going to see as we go through this chapter that the children of Israel got into a lot of trouble. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That's where we need to set our hope. In fact, the Lord Jesus is our only hope. We have no other hope besides that. And there are a lot of people out there today who have no hope. They're out there floundering around. They don't know what to do. They are in a hopeless state. And you are in a hopeless state when you don't hope in God. He is our only hope. And might not be, as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So the psalmist here is telling us that he is hoping that by reading these words here, that the children who are born in the future won't make the same mistakes that their forefathers made in rebelling against the Lord. And it will read more about that as we continue on here in verse 9 of Psalm 78. It tells us, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works. Now that is a horrible and a very serious thing, to forget the Lord. Yet how many people today have forgotten the Lord? They hardly ever think about Him. We live in a country where 70% of the people profess to be Christians, but how many of them ever even think of the Lord anymore? And if they do think of the Lord, it's usually just because they're in trouble of some sort, and they need help, but when things are going well for them, they never think of the Lord. They don't pray, they don't read scriptures, they don't worship Him. And that's the condition that a lot of people are in today. And that was a problem in Israel. They forgot the Lord. They continually did this. Like I said earlier, they went back and forth. They would serve the Lord, and the Lord would bless them, and then they would get into trouble. And then they would backslide, and God would punish them, and they would repent, and God would forgive them, and they kept going back and back and forth over and over again. It was a continual problem, because they were constantly forgetting God. And the reason they were forgetting God is because they were forgetting that He is supposed to be the rock upon which they build their lives. Verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them, that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers. And He did do very many marvelous things. You would think they would never forget the Lord after all He had done for them, but they did. They forgot all about Him. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. Remember when He rolled back the waters of the Red Sea and they were able to pass over on dry land? That was a miracle. Their back was up against the wall. They didn't know what they were going to do. Or I guess you could say their back was up against the sea. It seemed impossible, but the Lord made a way where there was no way, because there is nothing too hard for the Lord. But He worked that miracle for them, and they were able to cross over that sea on dry land because He rolled back the waters. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. As you might recall from scriptures, and during that time when they were making their way to the promised land for 40 years, it took them a very long time, but they were led by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, and that was God leading and directing them. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And we know that was a mighty miracle too. The children of Israel, they were thirsty, and they were murmuring and complaining and saying that Moses and God brought them out there to die. You know, they had no water to drink. It's amazing, after all they had seen, you would think they would have had faith in God, but they murmured and they complained because they were thirsty. But God was gracious, and He gave them water to drink out of the rocks. Can you imagine trying to somehow collect water out of rocks? Rocks that look dry and hard, and yet we know that in one story, God actually told Moses to speak to the rock and water would come forth, but he was so angry at the children of Israel for their rebellious spirit, for their murmuring and complaining, that he actually smote the rock instead. But the Lord was still gracious and water came forth out of that rock. And the children of Israel were able to drink and they were satisfied by that water. What a miracle. You know, only God can do that. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him. After everything God had done for them, they sinned all the more. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" As you might recall, God rained down manna from heaven. Bread literally came down from heaven and they ate it. And I'm sure it tasted wonderful, but they got tired of that bread and they said, "We want meat. We got to have meat. Give us flesh to eat." Whatever it was they had, however God blessed them, they were never happy with that. They always wanted something else. And there are a lot of people out there like that today. They don't realize how blessed they are, how much God has done for them, how much God has given them, and yet they murmur and complain and they want something other than what they have. Such a propensity with man to always want what you don't have. You know, and it's kind of like it, well, in the, you got the four seasons, and spring, summer, autumn, winter, and you know, when it's winter, we complain that it's too cold and can't wait for it to be summer. And then summer comes and we complain that it's too hot. Can't wait for it to be winter. And that's just the tendency of man to complain, to want it to be different than what it is. And we saw that that propensity was very common amongst the children of Israel. And they sinned, it tells us in verse 17, and they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also?" So in other words, you know, they saw what God had done with the rock, but that wasn't good enough for them. Yes, they had water, but now they had the manna, they had that bread, but they wanted flesh too. It tells us in verse 20, "Can He provide flesh for His people?" You see, they weren't satisfied with that bread. And you know, bread from heaven, that's something special. I'm sure it was amazing, unlike anything we've ever tasted, but they were unhappy with it. "Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation." After everything they had seen, after everything they had been through, they should have had great faith, and yet their faith was weak, and they did not put their trust in the salvation of God. And that angered the Lord, justifiably so. Verse 23, "Though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food." Angels' food. And that wasn't angels' food cake. That was bread, I guess you could call it. Angels' food bread. "Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea, and He let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations." You might recall the story how they complained and God sent them quail, and they ate so much of that quail that it came out of their noses. They just stuffed themselves full of that flesh. Verse 29, so they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Notice God did give them what they wanted, what they asked for when they were complaining, but there were consequences for that. And even after all of that, it tells us in verse 32, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. You know, it shouldn't have taken 40 years for them to get to the promised land. The reason it took so long for them to get to the promised land was because they kept rebelling against God, murmuring and complaining and doing awful things. And that entire generation, the vast majority of it, nearly that entire generation, died before they could enter that promised land. Joshua and Caleb entered in, but I believe, if I recall correctly, they were the only ones. And everyone else from that generation, even Moses, died before he could enter the promised land. But the next generation would go in after 40 years had passed. And if they had just been obedient to the Lord, I'm sure they would have gotten there a whole lot sooner. Verse 32, for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, they sought him. Then they sought him and they returned and inquired early after God. You know, when he judged them, when he punished them, then they remembered and came back and repented. And, you know, it's a good thing that they did that. It's a good thing to remember the Lord. We should remember the Lord every day. We should remember that He is our rock. We should remember that He is our Redeemer. But it tells us when He slew them, then they sought Him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. You see that? He is our rock. He is our Redeemer. He is the foundation of our lives. We build our lives upon that rock, the Lord Jesus. He is our rock. And we need to remember that every day. We must never forget that, as the children of Israel forgot it. And that caused so much trouble. Verse 36, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. Yes, they remembered God for a time. And they praised him with their lips, but not with their hearts. And they got back into their trouble, back into their evil ways. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. That's horrible, and it's foolish. You should never lie to God. You can't fool God. God knows the truth. There's nothing more pointless than lying to God. You can't fool the Lord. He's going to see right through that because he knows everything. There's nothing that's hidden from him. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. And he did forgive them numerous times because he is compassionate, he is merciful, and he's willing to do that same thing for us. But I tell you what, we do eventually run out of time. So if we keep falling back into sinful ways and iniquity, a time is going to come when we run out, when time runs out and you can't repent anymore. And that time, it came for many of these children of Israel. It was too late for a lot of them. But we see that God was merciful. He did forgive them over and over and over again. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. And I know he's done the same thing for us many a time. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. What does it mean by limited the Holy One of Israel? We know that our God cannot be limited, but what this is referring to is their lack of faith, their lack of belief that he could help them, that he could provide for them, that he could bring them out of trouble. They were limiting God in their own minds, but that wasn't reality. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them. Remember the plagues he sent to Egypt, to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh wouldn't let the children of Israel go. And finally he did, when he had finally had enough, but God did all of these things. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble, by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength, and the tabernacles of Ham. You know, people might read that and think, that's horrible. How could he do such a thing? But God did provide a way out. He did instruct them to put that blood on their doorposts and on their lintel. And if the Egyptians had been smart enough to do that same thing, the firstborn of the Egyptians would have been spared too, but they didn't do it. God did provide a way out. He always provides a way out. He provided an ark for Noah, and he's provided a way out for us too. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to what? The way of what? The way to salvation. He is our Savior. He always provides a way out. And there are people who are going to refuse that, just as the Egyptians refused, just as those that Noah preached to refused to heed his warnings. There are people today who will refuse to heed the warnings we see of the things happening all around us. And one day it's going to be too late for them. But thank the Lord, there's always a remnant. There's always people who do hear and do repent and do serve the Lord. There's always a remnant. And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacle of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He guided them through that wilderness. And it took them a long time to get through that wilderness, but he guided them, and they did get to that promised land eventually. And he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Again, it's referring to that incident at the Red Sea, where the children of Israel, it was kind of funny how that worked. The children of Israel, they didn't believe they could cross, but the Egyptians thought they could, and the opposite proved to be true. The Israelites, they crossed over on dry ground, and the Egyptians were drowned in the sea. Verse 54, and he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. And we have an inheritance today too. That inheritance is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, in the scriptures it's always first that which is natural, and then that which is spiritual. And our inheritance now is a spiritual inheritance. Back then they inherited the land, the promised land, but we inherit the promised land in heaven. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God after everything they had been through. After everything that had happened, you would think they would never forget the Lord and go after the traditions of the nations around them and do all sorts of evil things, but that's exactly what happened. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. We see the consequences of what happens when we forget God, when we forget that He is our rock, that foundation we build our lives upon. And we must never forget our God. Because when you forget God, you lose that protection. Just as the children of Israel lost that protection that they had when they served Him. You know, when they were serving the Lord, you couldn't remember when Balaam tried to curse the children of Israel and he couldn't do it? Because he couldn't curse what God had blessed. When you have God's blessing, you can't be cursed. But Israel, they lost their protection, they lost their blessing because they kept going after evil ways, they kept forgetting the Lord. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And that's true. He chose that tribe of Judah. What did he choose the tribe of Judah to do? That was the tribe where eventually the Messiah would come forth, the Lord Jesus, from Judah. There's always a remnant. Verse 69, and he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. He chose David also his servant, and took from him the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. And he was merciful. And Judah did survive and bring forth the Messiah, just as God had promised all the way back in the book of Genesis. He chose David also his servant, it tells us in verse 70, and that did come to pass, that line of David that Jesus came forth from. And Jesus, he gave us a new inheritance, an inheritance of eternal life, something we've been reading about a lot lately. But we see in this psalm how God was merciful and how wonderful things can be if you remember that God is our rock. And if you build your life upon Him, if He is your foundation, if you don't go after the wickedness of other nations all around you, other people all around you, but if you always remember the Lord, if He is your rock, you won't fall by the wayside. You will have strength, you will have stability because He is your rock, that firm foundation. And we know that Jesus Christ is our rock. In fact, why don't we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for just a few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1 it tells us, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We've just read about those things in that psalm, Psalm 78, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You know, when they crossed that Red Sea, that was a form of baptism. That was a precursor to the baptism we have today. Remember, in the Old Testament, it's always natural things that happen, but now it's spiritual things. And there were spiritual things happening in the spiritual realm as all of this happened too, which the children of Israel didn't quite understand. But it tells us that they were baptized in a cloud and in the sea. And verse 3 tells us, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, that manna from heaven, that angel's food that we read about in that psalm, Psalm 78, came down from heaven, and I'm sure it was wonderful, but it, you know, they got tired of that. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that rock they drank from was Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ back then. And we know that today Jesus Christ is our rock, and we must build our life upon Him. All of our lives, we must build it upon the Lord Jesus. He is our chief cornerstone, our foundation, our rock. And we know that we draw water, living water, from the wells of Jesus. From Him, from the Lord, we draw upon that spiritual water. And that's the only way to quench your spiritual thirst. There's no other way to do it. You need Jesus to do that. And from that rock, we draw that water. Just as they, in the Old Testament, drew water from that rock. But it tells us here in First Corinthians chapter 10, that rock was Christ, and He must be our rock also. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. We should be able to look back at what the children of Israel did and see the end result of that and be smart enough to realize that we better not do the same things. It was an example of what not to do. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. And we know that fornication is still a problem today. And no, it's not okay just because everybody's doing it. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, He's telling us, you can look back, you can see what they did, and we know we better not do those things because it is sorely displeasing from the Lord. And we should thank God that everything that happened back there was recorded, because we can learn from that. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There's always a way out. He always provides a way out. He always gives us the strength we need to overcome. We can be thankful for that. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So we see how important it is to learn from the mistakes of the Israelites and to always remember that Christ is our rock. He is our rock, and we need to build our lives upon Him. I want to go to one last place in Scripture in closing. Matthew chapter 7. Right, almost there. We're going to be going down to the end of the chapter in Matthew chapter 7. All the way down to verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 tells us, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." You know, not everyone who claims to be a Christian is going to go to heaven. There are a lot of people out there who claim to be Christian. As I mentioned earlier, 70% of the American people today claim to be Christians. But I tell you what, if 70% of the people in this country were truly Christians, this country would be in a lot different shape today. It would not be in the trouble that is in today. But we see here that Jesus is warning us that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," not everyone who names the name of Christ is truly going to be saved. I'll read 21 again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You must do the Lord's will. And he said, what is his will? What is it that he wants us to do? He wants us to obey him, to obey his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, there are some requirements. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are frauds out there. There are fakes out there. They claim to do miracles in the name of the Lord, but they're phony baloney. And Jesus tells us that he's going to tell them, I never knew you. It's not that they used to be Christians, but they weren't anymore. They never were. But here's what I really wanted to focus on in this chapter, starting in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know what? The rain will descend, the floods will come, the winds will blow, and they're going to beat upon you, our bodies, which is the house, the very house of our souls. We're going to face trying times, there's going to be trouble. And the scriptures warn us of that. There are going to be hard things that we have to go through. That rain will come. Those floods will come. That wind will blow. It'll beat upon your house. But if you're founded upon the rock, if you're founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not fall. You will not topple. You will be firmly established, and you will withstand those floods, those rains, those winds. All of those problems that come at you, you'll withstand, you'll survive, you will overcome, you will prevail. If you never forget that Jesus Christ is your rock, upon whom we build our lives, the foundation of our lives. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we see that those of us who hear the words of the Lord Jesus, take them to heart, those of us who obey his commandments, those of us who make him the very foundation of our lives, we will be able to withstand because we built our house upon a rock. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. We will withstand the storms of this life because we're built upon that rock. But if we don't do that, if we don't hear the words of the Lord, if we don't obey the Lord, that's like building our house upon the sand. And those rains will come, those floods will come, those winds will blow. And if you're not built on that rock, if you're not built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you will fall. But thankfully, we know that doesn't have to be our fate. We must always remember the Lord. Each and every day, be mindful of him. We must study his word. We must pray. We must worship him and give him our hearts. Build our lives upon that rock, that firm foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be our rock. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And you know why he did that? Because he did have authority, and he does have authority today. He's still with us today. He may not be walking around in a physical body on earth today, but he's alive. He dwells inside us in our hearts. For those of us who have builded our lives upon that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have that Comforter, that Holy Ghost that dwells inside us, that rock, that firm foundation. Praise the Lord. We must always be mindful and never forget the Lord. He is our rock. He is our salvation. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer, thanking Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. Thanking Thee for the gift of Thy salvation. Thanking Thee for Thy word. Thanking for the examples we find in Scriptures. Examples of things not to do. Help us to always be mindful of Thee, to never forget Thee, but to firmly be established on Thee, our rock. For we know that without Thee we will fall. And I pray, O God, that these words would not leave us, but that they would sink down deeply into our hearts, that we would be mindful of Thee each and every day, and serve Thee each and every day. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing a chorus in closing. And I'm going to try to find it. Let's see. Well, I'm not sure what number it is, but maybe it's under S. Yes. Number 52, Standing on the Rock of Ages. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages, standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages, standing on a solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages, standing on a solid rock. Praise the Lord, and you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.